give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Bend in the ball on Zubac. Quick get to go. He's well with Reba. And Embiid scores it. And Embiid to the crowd. Here we go. They fade up. It's beautiful. It's all over. Embiid made a shot and he got the crowd right back on his side.
That's all you have to do. Go out there, give that effort, show that love. I think that was coined by Lou Williams when he was here when they were making those playoff runs back then. Show your love. Show your love to the fans and they'll give it back. Just give the effort. Go do what you do. Be that dominant player, engaged. And it's all good. As we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you until midnight here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon doing a great job as always producing the show. And as we get ready to talk about Al Horford and his new role this evening off the bench, where he gave the 76ers 27 minutes and 56 seconds of play, 3 of 4 from the field, 1 of 2 from deep, 2 free throw opportunities, making them both, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in his time on the floor, subbing in for Joel Embiid right around the 7-minute mark of the first quarter. I'm looking at a tweet from Keith Pompey of the Philly Inquirer, and here it is, Al Horford speaking post-game about his role off the bench. Here's his quote. "I just accepted it. Obviously not the position that I saw myself in, but it's what was best for the team." A lot of people have been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. Many people did not like the signing in the first place. Elton Brand bringing him in for 4 years, close to what, 109 for his 4-year contract. And we saw the big team that they put together and being this dominating bully ball, smash mouth offense, bully ball defense type of squad. And we've seen it sometimes and other times we have not. So being the true professional that he is, as he said, "I accepted it. Obviously not the position that I saw myself in, but it's what's best for the team." I've said this many times that I don't think Al Horford is done. I think he still has plenty, even at his age, at 33, left in the tank. He has not fit well with his team offensively. Defensively, certainly, at his age, he's going to lose a step or two, especially when trying to defend guys who are a little more fleet of foot on the wing position out there in the perimeter. It's going to be tough for him, right? We all know that. But it's not because of lack of effort. That's just what it is when you start to reach that age, unless your name is LeBron James. And for him to come off the bench, being the true professional that he is, this is what you're going to get. This is the type of guy you're going to get. Probably frustrated, but he's going to go out there and do his job. And he did just that. I just think that he has not been used the right way within the offense. He's hoisting up all of these threes. It has turned out to be a little bit tougher, where initially I thought that they would just play a lot of simple stuff, high-low action between he and Joel Embiid, which they do. Works sometimes, sometimes it does not. Same thing with Ben Simmons cutting off the ball a little bit, slashing to the basket. His great passing, Al Horford, hitting Simmons for some easy bucket opportunities. This is something that they made a decision to do. They have to live with it. We have to live with it. How do they make this marriage work? And that's what we're going to try to see over these next couple of weeks, couple of months, heading into the postseason, of what works best for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's still going to play starter minutes. Once again, he played 27 minutes, 56 seconds. He's played 28 minutes coming off the bench tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not a coach. I'm not a general manager. I do play one on the radio from time to time here in the post and other normal times that we do the show. But I certainly think there's a lot more to Al Horford than we've seen, just because of the unique nature of what this starting lineup is, with specifically Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, with how different they are because of Ben Simmons' lack of outside shooting, which hurts things a little bit, and with Joel Embiid still learning some things and needing to, because that's when they are at their best, working on the low block, maybe extending it out to 17 at the elbow right there on the wing as well, because he knocks down that short jumper, that turnaround jumper as well. And then Al Horford gets lost. So just like any other basketball player or any player in any sport, you're going to want your shots as well. As much of a team player as he is, why wouldn't he want his shot? So when the ball swings around to him, he's going to try to do his thing as well. And what you see is catch the ball, jab, 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 like he does, which has been effective over the years. But sometimes it may not come in a really good spot for the team. Sometimes it may not come in a really good spot for him. And therefore, the misses start to pile up. He doesn't get a shot for another six possessions. So he has to try to find a way once again to be in a rhythm to get things going. So on and so forth. You guys know how it works. I think he's going to simply be a true professional this entire time. I don't know what Brett Brown is going to do with the starting lineup going forward. But I can certainly see a time where Brown decides to go back to Al Horford. I really hope over the All-Star break, while they are away from one another, the assistant coaches go their way sometimes, take a quick break, right? Head coach takes a little bit of a break as well. Players certainly get away from it all, that tonight, exploring with what you have, the possibilities of the lineups that you're going to go with on any given night. You're going to have Simmons, Richardson, Embiid, and Harris, I'm guessing, every night. The question is now, do you go Al Horford again? Do you keep Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup, who struggled tonight in 23 minutes of play, 0-5 from the floor, 4 from beyond the three-point line? Do you mix it up a little bit more with Matisse Thybulle? Do you go back to Shake Milton in the starting lineup? Or do you look at someone like Alec Burks or Glenn Robinson III, who we saw start the second half of the game because of his athleticism, his defense, being able to move his feet, where Furkan Korkmaz was already struggling a bit and Brett Brown noticed it, and you have to give him credit for noticing it, making a quick change. I'm sure the coaching staff had something to do with that as well, with their input, making that change, which was the right thing to do going into the second half of this game. I don't know what they're going to do, but over the break, over the time, looking at some of the different things that they could possibly do, you're going to want to find a 10-man rotation. You're going to want to know what your eight is going to look like going into the postseason, with the flexibility, of course, of having those Swiss Army knife guys to come in to be that 9 and 10. And even if he has to go a little bit deeper with 11, possibly 12, based on whatever is happening in the moment, in that series, in that game, to go that route. Me personally, I don't know what I would do. I mean, coming out of the break, I believe they'll stick with Al Horford off the bench. Not sure if it's Korkmaz, Thybulle, or Robinson. But you have 27 to figure it out. And I believe that that's what the coaching staff and Brett Brown would do over the break. Not just sit there and draw up new stuff that's what they're supposed to do, but also figure out what's best for this team going forward matchup-wise. Can Al Horford feast on the second unit? We spoke about it in the post, where Al Horford coming in when Montrezl Harrell was out there, and not so much Harrell being out there with Embiid. Embiid went out around the 7-minute mark, sitting next to my partner down there at the game. We talked about it, sitting out the 7-minute mark. He mentioned it, started the second quarter. Wow, no Embiid. He had two fouls, but no Embiid with Harrell out there. You can try to take advantage. No disrespect to Montrezl Harrell. We know he's a very, very good player. He's going to get paid this offseason because he's played very well these last couple of years with the Los Angeles Clippers. But it looked like something that you can kind of eat a little bit on that low block, because as tough as he is smaller. He ended up with 4 personal fouls this evening against the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Al Horford thing is going to be interesting. It's going to be a storyline that we will keep our eye on going forward, whether he's starting or whether he's coming off the bench and contributing that way. He's going to be a team player, as he said. it's what was best for the team. He mentioned post game, and that's just who he is, and that's just who he's going to be going forward for this squad. It could change game by game, depending on who they're playing. It could be a game by game situation for Brett Brown, feeling it out as to who is going to start on any given night for this basketball team. The most important thing is to make sure they get the W's, the team chemistry is right, and as everyone is starting to get healthy, especially with this time off now with the All-Star break, Josh Richardson back as well, we were all waiting to see extended games of the starting five together to allow them to get into that rhythm, that camaraderie, that chemistry that they're going to need once you get into the postseason. Who knows if we'll get that anymore going forward, where they're going to switch it up from time to time or switch it up permanently. But when they switch it up permanently, Al Horford will not be a part of that starting unit. 610-632-0975. As far as Furkan Korkmaz, he was on a scouting report. Our last caller pointed it out. Much respect was given to him by Doc Rivers deciding to place Paul George on him to start the game. Kawhi Leonard, as we know, on Ben Simmons and everything else with Tobias Harris, how they decided to defend the 76ers in that way. But Furkan Korkmaz, 34 and 31, respectively, in the last couple of games, both back here in Philadelphia. As hot as he has been shooting, and I know a lot of people were saying, hey, give me 15 off the bench and that's solid. We don't know that he's capable of it. We don't know that he's not. But what's important is to see him do that exact same thing what we saw over the last two games, 34 and 31. It doesn't have to be that number, but contribute in that way on the road as well. Can you give me 10? Can you give me 12? Can you give me an outburst where you do wind up with 34 or 31 as a visiting player in the opponent's arena in a tough environment? We don't know. We know he can shoot. We know he has a flair to his game, and he can develop that confidence within the game with how things are flowing. Tonight was not his night. 0-4 from deep. 0 points, 1 steal, 1 rebound in 23 minutes and 24 seconds. And Glenn Robinson III starting the second half, starting the third quarter, coming out of the locker room because Korkmaz was struggling offensively and defensively. If he's not giving you anything offensively, and while he may be solid defensively for the team, Robinson just seemed like the better fit to start things off for the team. Good call by Brett Brown. So Furkan Korkmaz had a nice run. It was good to see it. We've seen it. We've seen what he could potentially do. And we also can see him bounce back to being Furkan Korkmaz, where he's going to struggle because, you know, he's still a young player in this game. He has certain things to his game that are not defined or refined, where he can go out there and really take advantage of the defense. And he's going to have these types of nights, especially when you are on the scouting report. They put an all-league defender on you to give you some trouble, to make you think about what you're doing, and have those type of situations when you have Paul George or Kawhi Leonard opposite you, and maybe even Marcus Morris deciding to get physical with you out there on the perimeter. So we'll see. We'll see what they do there. Alec Burks, Brian Seltzer asked me what I wanted to see. I spoke about wanting to see the Montrezl Harrell, Al Horford matchup off the bench. Horford with 9, Montrezl Harrell with 10, shooting 5 of 10 from the floor, 6 rebounds, 4 personal fouls. You could arguably say Al Horford got the better end of the deal, even though sometimes Harrell was in there with Joel Embiid. I will probably give the edge to Al Horford tonight. But I wanted to see Alec Burks. We got 14 minutes and 20 seconds right off the bat. He came in the game and knocked down a quick jumper off the bounce. You can see just a natural bounce with his handle, his body movement, what type of player he is. We do call him a combo guard because there are times, like Brett Brown did tonight, give him the basketball, let him bring the ball up, initiate the offense. See what you have. Going into the All-Star break, see what you have. He has a nice feel for the game. He took a couple of shots. The one shot, really, that I thought was a little rushed from him tonight off the bounce, but it was okay because, once again, I'm sure he was told to go in there and just be himself. He understands what the offense is. Go in there and do your thing. And that's exactly what he did. While he was only 1-for-4, I thought overall the shots were good. He had 2 assists on the evening. So a light night, but I wanted to see him. We got to see him. I expect more from him over the next month. Let's just say these next 6 games that we were talking about coming off of the All-Star break, starting with Brooklyn. For the rest of the month, I expect to see a little bit more of Alec Burks and to really get an opportunity, really get a glimpse of who he is out there on the floor. Glenn Robinson, once again, his second game with the team on the floor. Alec Burks did not play in that game against the Chicago Bulls. I like what I saw from him again. The activity, the defense, the moving of the feet, not reaching too much, just simply sliding his feet and getting to his spots to try to cut off those lanes for Paul George and others that were out there tonight for the Los Angeles Clippers on the wing. You're going to need that. You're going to need him in spurts to be a defensive stopper. You're going to need him in spurts to make sure he moves off the ball without the ball in his hands from time to time, because they don't really have anyone with his athleticism outside of Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle to do those things. Josh Richardson as well. Off the bench, we're speaking, Matisse Thybulle is the only one to really come in with that athleticism to give you something different off the bench. So I like his activity. He's just improved over the last couple of years since the last time we saw him, where he was running on those 10-day contracts during the rebuild, and he is a different player. We haven't seen yet, really, the three-point shot. We saw it against the Chicago Bulls. He shot 1 tonight. Once he gets comfortable with this team, understanding what his role will be, coaches putting him in the right position, I think you're going to get something good from Glenn Robinson. This is totally different than the Jonathan Simmons thing with the last year, with him coming in from Orlando. This is one that you can really look at and say, all right, I like exactly where this could potentially be going with Glenn Robinson, and deciding once again, is he going to start the second half? Is he going to start the game? How is Brett Brown going to mix him in? They have something nice to play with there, with Glenn Robinson coming off the bench as a really good wing for this basketball team, as well as mixing in Alec Burks. So if you look at it, even if Furkan Korkmaz remains the starter, you look at Horford, obviously, number one, Matisse Thybulle, number two, coming off the bench, then you mix in Burks and Robinson with Mike Scott, you have some nice stuff there to play with, to really get going with this basketball team as they finish off with the 27 games that they have. So, good win once again, but just really good for the morale of the basketball team as they get ready for the All-Star break. 8 days off. That 9th day, they play the Brooklyn Nets on a Thursday back here in Philadelphia on the 20th. So, certainly look forward to what they will have once they get back here, all the adjustments that they made during the break, and let's see exactly what the squad does. I'm looking at Jack on Twitter, who says, credit to Brett Brown for finally going with Horford off the bench. That said, I'm very concerned that Brown is not going to play the right guys going forward. He's got a lot of options now and hasn't been great with rotations in the past. Did a good job tonight, but it's always a worry. Jack, it is a worry from time to time with what he does overall with his substitutions, but I thought he pressed, as you mentioned, he pressed the right buttons tonight with where he wanted to go. Al Horford coming off the bench, I'm sure he was really just trying to wait. He did not want to do that to the veteran player, but try something different, give a new wrinkle, and see if it worked. Tonight it worked. They'll probably go with it with that first game back, and we'll press those buttons going forward as need be. Jack follows up, I don't get why it's such a demotion to come off the bench for someone like Horford. At his age, you'd think he would embrace his limitations. He's a 5. He's not a 4 in today's NBA. He can be as important as anyone on the team coming off the bench, especially at playoff time. And right now, Jack, as we read that quote from Keith Pompey, saying it's not where he thought he would be at this time, but it's what's best for the team, and that's what he's going to do, which is best for the team at the moment and probably going forward. They'll revisit all of that stuff in the offseason when it's time to do that, whether they decide to have that conversation in the exit interviews and speaking about him continuing to come off the bench the next season. He requests a trade. They decide to move him without requesting a trade, whatever. But right now, he's coming off the bench, at least I think, for one more game to give them that different look. At Ruin today, it's only Joe. I don't recall a Sixers game where they had that much off the ball offensive motion, multiple effective pick and rolls. I hope they can continue after the break. They had a lot of pick and rolls. Tobias Harris was benefiting from that. Alec Burks, the same. And Tobias Harris, we know coming from the Clippers, thrives off of that. Josh Richardson also has some really good pick and roll opportunities for him as well. Tobias Harris thrives off it. He's able to get guys on his hip. He's not as explosive, even though he had that great dunk that we remember. Keep that pick and roll stuff going. You have multiple ball handlers. Yes, let it happen. The motion off the ball, that's where I'm speaking about who Josh Richardson is and Glenn Robinson, with moving away from the basketball, finding those little creases, getting to those little spots where they can have an opportunity to get an easy bucket, an easy look for their teammate to make that pass when they cut as hard as they do to the painted area and certainly to the rim. Capri, who I saw before the game, she stopped by the broadcast. Always great to see Capri. She called Furkan Korkmaz's bad game, and Brett left him in too long in the fourth quarter. She did. She realized that Al Horford was not starting when Brian Seltzer announced it, breaking news at that time. But Furkan Korkmaz, she had a little bit of doubt about him being the starter versus someone else out there with the starting five. 0-5, 0-4 from deep. He struggled tonight. It's going to happen. Shooters are streaky. While he has improved with everything in terms of his overall ball handling, putting the ball under the deck, getting to the rim, finishing strong, the layups, so on and so forth, he is still a shooter, and a streaky one at that. And this is what you're going to get from time to time. So Capri, great call. Of course, 610-632-0975. We're running until midnight. I had to go on. I was talking. I wanted to get all that stuff off in that segment. So guys on the phones, we'll get to you. 610-632-0975. I obviously have so many other things I want to say, like at man 1674, J Fox Photos. I think with the addition of Burks, Glenn Robinson III, and Horford coming off the bench, this could be a sign of a major turnaround. Of course, Ben and Embiid need to stay aggressive. You know my favorite thing, and I know Paul wants to talk about Simmons. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the absolute best Ben Simmons, and he was that tonight. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKenna is producing the show. I'm Devon Givens. We are coming to you, of course, from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We're with you until midnight. So once again, 610-632-0975. Everybody that's on hold, when we get back, it's your turn right here in the post on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens, Dylan McKinnon producing the show. 610-632-0975 in the post. Two more segments to go. We have guys online. Guys, I want you to hear this before we bring you on, because there was some stuff post-game that you should hear as we get ready to talk about the Sixers, Simmons, and Embiid, whatever you guys want to talk about. So, Dill, let's start with Joel Embiid, of course, coming in, the hot story before Al Horford going to the bench took over. Joel Embiid post-game has some things to say about his relationship with the fans here in Philadelphia.
Great. You know, they've been going on me. You know, went back at them.
we all human beings. If I can take it, then everybody else can take it too. So we move on. We learn from it. We move on. I got to do a better job. They got to do a better job. I understand where they come from. But then again, you know, if you dish it, you gotta be able to take it back. So, but at the end of the day, like I said, in my location last night, it was all love. You know, I love my city. You know, I've been here for a long time now. We have a special relationship. I'm happy to be here. You know, I can't wait for the future, especially this year. I think we can accomplish something great.
Joel Embiid post game at the post game presser at the center following the Sixers 110-103 victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. And sometimes with Joel, you can sit there and say, you know what, I'm not buying it and all of that. But when I listen to him right there, and it's not even about him having fun. And I've said this plenty of times, even before he came out and said twice that he wasn't having fun anymore and all that. I remember sitting here doing the show, and I said he didn't look like he was enjoying himself anymore. And afterwards, there was a tweet and a call saying, how do you know he's not having fun? What do you mean he's not having fun? For the most part, I think people can understand when we say when he's not having fun, you can just tell by his body language he's a different kind of cat out there on the floor. He was engaged. He seemed like he enjoyed himself. He was obviously locked in because of what just happened, so he needed to respond the right way. But I did actually buy with what he said post-game tonight with what you just heard. Now, him saying that he's going to be, look forward to the future, he's going to be here, right? Dylan was saying he pointed out how he wasn't going anywhere and all that stuff. That'll be figured out in the offseason. But right now, him saying that they still have the team, that they can do some things and make some noise in the postseason, we know it's going to be on his shoulders. He knows it's going to be on his shoulders. How does he respond? I didn't mind with what he just said tonight after the game. We'll get to Brett Brown shortly, but let's go to Jim and Fox Chase next in the post. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. Big win tonight.
It was a solid win, man. Solid win.
Yeah. Just loved everything. Man, 26, 12, and 10 for Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid also 26 and 9. Being the leaders tonight, the first time I haven't seen in a while. And once, you know, they play like that, it feeds off of everybody. You see Josh Richardson playing like that. He was unbelievable. He shut down Paul George. I liked how he took that assignment. I liked how Ben Simmons was with Kawhi the whole game. I know Kawhi got 30, but I think Ben
Kawhi's
gave him a
get
tough 30.
Yeah, he made him work for it. Yeah.
He made him work for it, right. And Ben just went right at Kawhi the whole game and absolutely dominated. And I just loved their whole defensive attitude. I loved how they just set the tone. And, you know, I like that little switch, bringing Horford off the bench. And, yeah, man, we this could be the change, you know, that we need. And it's perfect going on the break on a three-game winning streak.
Yeah, it was much needed. And as you pointed out, the three-game winning streak and doing what they just did tonight, I mentioned at the top of the show, Jim, that it was more so about morale than anything. You can hear the smile when Joel Embiid is talking. I mean, I didn't see the video, but just you've heard him. I've heard
right.
him. You can tell he
right.
was smiling while he was talking. And yes, a lot of that is playfulness because of what just happened with everything with the fan base from Sunday's game against the Chicago Bulls. But a win absolutely helps that. And knowing that, forget about the All-Star game, the break that they go into the, as you mentioned, a three-game winning streak, go into this break with a few days off. Everyone allows themselves to kind of just take a break from everything with basketball. We hope that they get their shots up and all. But just going in there with an open mind, three-game winning streak, feeling good about yourself, knowing that you got to come in with 27 games and click right away with what they need to do.
Right. And, you know, just probably my last part before I know you got other people, but mm-hmm. When we come back from the break, the first nine games, six of them are on the road, and then the last four of them are, you know, Clippers, Lakers, and all those teams, and
Clippers,
we play
Lakers,
Milwaukee right now. That
yeah, Clippers, yeah. Lakers, Kings, Warriors,
and then we play Milwaukee the second game on the road. It's on a Saturday.
Yes, the 22nd.
Yes. Just your opinion on that, because we all know tonight it was at home and they're going in the All-Star break with the best record at home. Just hopefully they can keep it up on the road, because I feel like we're going to try to find out if they're going to be, you know, can they win six of those games on the road? Because you want to be considered with Milwaukee and the Clippers and the Lakers as one of the best teams. You got to win on the road, too.
Absolutely. Jim, thanks so much, man. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. So after they come back from the break, Brooklyn at home on the 20th. That's a Thursday night, 8 o'clock game, nationally televised. So that should be a great one. Saturday, 8:30, Milwaukee. Okay? All right? Milwaukee, the 22nd for the Philadelphia 76ers. Then they home for Atlanta, away for Cleveland, home New York. Then they're off Friday and Saturday. They head out west for the four that we just mentioned, all in March. Here's the order. Clippers, the first. Lakers, third. Kings, fifth. Warriors, seventh. They then return home for four at the center. But those four right there, as I look at it today, I say split them. Because if I'm looking at it as a nine-game stretch right there, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Cleveland, New York, and then the four games on that West Coast trip, I'm expecting to come away 4-1 in February with Milwaukee, my lone loss. And then splitting to make it 6-3 over that nine, I can live with that, because you're picking up three wins on the road overall for this basketball team. 610-632-0975. Jim, I hope I answered your question. Let's go to Paul Margate next in the post.
Devon, he talked about Simmons, so I wanted to talk about him. I know you noticed. I mean, this guy, he played an amazing game tonight.
He was great.
Offensively and defensively, even though Kawhi Leonard scored 30 points, he was everywhere in this game. And, you know, a month ago, people were criticizing him. He can't do this. He can't do that. This guy's in his third year. Go look at Jason Kidd's third year stat. He averaged 10 points a game and shot 40%. I mean, you know, Gary Payton. I mean, this guy's just, he can play four positions on defense. And it's amazing. And he just, he's taken over now. He's been averaging like 20-some points a game his last six games.
No, he can play five positions on defense, depending on who that five man is.
Yeah, well, that's true. You have to have the right center in there. Right. Yeah, you're right. I didn't want to exaggerate.
No, it's not exaggerating. We've seen it done before. Yeah.
And when him and Feibel are in there together, now, there was a play in the second period where Feibel was actually guarding two guys. He's guarding the guy passes to somebody else. He's over there guarding, forces him to dribble into a crowd. And he was just all over the place. It's just, when those two are in there together, their defense is unreal. It really is. And he's just getting better and better. He's hitting his foul shots. He hit a little. I'm not one of these guys that say he has to shoot a three. I say he has to shoot 15-footers. But he shoots threes, nobody's going to guard him, just like they didn't guard Iguodala, just like they don't guard the Greek Freak. So they want him to shoot threes. And once he's going to shoot 25%, he's going to hurt the team that way.
I'm okay with him shooting him from time to time as long as he's shooting them confidently. But for me, it's always been, Paul, as you mentioned, the stuff that intermediate where he can get those floaters, those little teardrops off. We saw the little runner that he made as a jumper over Marcus Morris as the shot clock was going down. But it was really the free throws for me, Paul. And we've seen him shoot at a very, very high percentage over the last couple of weeks where he's improved on that. And that's key.
Yeah. But you saw last week, the Greek Freak, when he played against us, he still had a lot of, he took five three-pointers. He threw two air balls. He's doing us a favor when he shoots a three-pointer. And that's the way Simmons will be.
He is, but he's also dominant everywhere else. You don't mind him taking those threes. That's one of those here. You can have these, yes, from the defense, but here as a teammate, hey, man, you're doing so much for us. Go ahead, fire it up. Go ahead, fire it up.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But remember when Iguodala was here?
Yes.
You know, I used to holler at him at the games. You're open for a reason. They want you to shoot those threes. there's a reason why you're open, Andre. And he became a better shooter with Golden State. But Simmons was just unreal tonight.
He was great.
Everywhere. And even though he shut Kawhi down the last 6 minutes of the game, I mean, he bothered him a couple of times, stole the ball, got an offensive foul on him and all. And, you know, it looked like last year he was a little intimidated by Kawhi.
I agree.
But this year he doesn't look like he is.
Yeah,
I mean,
5 points
Kawhi
in the quarter for Kawhi Leonard in the fourth.
5 points, right? Yeah. And what did he shoot?
Two of four.
Two of four, okay.
In 6 minutes and 40 seconds. He came back right around that 7-minute mark, I remember, And so 6:40.
Well, that's when Simmons came back in. What, about eight minutes left in that quarter? Because he didn't play the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yep. So. He was tremendous tonight, Paul. Listen, man, thanks so much. Really appreciate the great insight. We're going to take our final break. We come right back with Adam and Paul. We'll hear from Brett Brown post-game as well. And we close things out for the evening here in the post. So, Jill and McKinnon producing. I'm Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.11:47 in the post. 97.5 The Fanatic, Devon Givens. .11:47 in the post. You'll get called for a violation. The official will blow the whistle. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. I'm Devon Givens with you. Adam and Paul, we're coming to you in a second. Let's just get this Al Horford thing, this clip in from Brett Brown speaking about Al Horford and him coming off the bench, the adjustment tonight in the starting lineup.
I spoke to Al about it, like we're trying to find ways to help him and help the team. I felt, disregarding the lineup defensive adjustment that I just spoke of, that the time was appropriate to do it and see if we can get sort of that second unit going without. Al is obviously a quality player. How I end games will be, to me, the judgment. And so tonight, we rode out those big guys for a while. They went small, so did I. And the decision to rotate him was driven because of that.
And that's always important because Al Horford was on the floor at the end of the game with Joel Embiid playing the four spot, Embiid at the five for the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll see after the break where they decide to go. Right now, we head to Germantown checking in with Adam here in the post. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, great show, Devon.
Thank you, man.
Try and be as quick as possible.
Sure.
All right. For all the people that don't believe that Brett Brown, you know, knows rotations and things like that, yes, the addition of two perimeter players like Robinson and Burks, I think, is a big help. And he wants Horford on the floor with them, and that's why Kylo Quinn basically wants to be waived, because he knows, you know, if Horford's really going to come off the bench as a backup center, then he's probably not going to get any minutes, if any at all. But the Sixers still may need him. So, and I know that Brett Brown likes him. I just want to say the key I feel to the Sixers overall is Alec Burks and Josh Richardson staying on the court. Because Josh Richardson's night was awesome down the stretch.
Yes, and he was. 17 points.
Yeah, I mean, I was following at work on the phone and looking at the game cast. Then I watched the fourth quarter till about 2.5 minutes left. And Josh Richardson was amazing. I mean, he was. And the last thing I'm going to say is the Sixers only have brought back one guy, all right, from that tanking era, and it was Glenn Robinson. And I see why, okay? Because tonight, Glenn Robinson he was good. Oh, definitely. And I have no problem with the guy that played, but he was on the bench, and Brett Brown was trying to make a point to him, and he was yelling at him, but not yelling.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Angrily. And Glenn Robinson was staring right at him, and he had this look like, I got you, coach. But he also had this look at him like, is this the same guy that coached me 5 years ago?
Well, it was a different Brett Brown, right? I mean, probably same Brett Brown, but different results now where they get these W's as they shoot for 50-plus wins and one of the top seeds in the East. But I hear you, man. A nice addition to bring Glenn Robinson, the third back here, Adam. And he's gonna help this team down the stretch. And again, I mentioned Simmons, Jonathan Simmons, from last year, the Orlando Magic deal that shipped Markelle Fultz to Orlando. That one did not work. Everything else pretty much worked. Boban Marjanovic played his part. James Ennis also played his part. Mike Scott, Tobias Harris, everything else worked. Let's see if these two are able to contribute to the team the way the Sixers are going to need for these final 27 games heading into the postseason. Paul and Drexel Hill in the post. What's up, Paul?
Hello?
Hey, Paul.
That's the loudest I heard that stadium this year.
You know what? You know what?
That place was, rocking.
It was rocking in there, and I always give you guys credit, Paul, for what you guys do as the fans sitting in there making that noise, but you're right. The only other time I can really say, there was two other times, all right, if you don't mind. Boston to start the season off. The home opener, season opener.
Yeah. I was out
that one.
That
was great.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, man. That Lakers game. No, pardon me. The Milwaukee game. Milwaukee game on Christmas Day was great. And the Lakers game.
Why wasn't that game?
Here's why the Lakers game was loud, Paul. Because there were so many Laker fans in there that you had to drown them out. And they did. The Sixers fans did.
Yeah. But I'll tell you a thing. I loved Ennis, but I love Robinson. He came up big time tonight. I like him.
Very good. He was very good.
Very good.
Yeah. Yep. Paul, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for jumping in here tonight as we get ready to close things down in the post. Good win once again for me. It was more of, yes, get the W, but a morale win for this team with so much going on over the last couple of days since Sunday's game against the Chicago Bulls. Closing things out on a high note going into the All-Star break, knowing that some changes were made with the starting lineup, some new people inserted into the rotation with Burks and Robinson, and as we mentioned, Josh Richardson coming back as well. So a lot to it. Morale booster for this team going into the All-Star break on a 3-game winning streak. They have to feel good about where they are after their performances over the last 3 games, and specifically tonight against a very good team in the Los Angeles Clippers. Guys, I'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I'll go until 10 as I hang out with Joe Torti from 8 to 10 here on The Fanatic. I'm scheduled to join the morning show tomorrow as well, I believe right around 9 o'clock, so if you're up and you're listening to the morning show, you're driving in, you're just getting to work, whatever it is, turn the morning show on. I'm sure you'll already have it on, but I'll be on right around 9 o'clock to talk about some Sixers hoops with the great morning show team. Dylan McKinnon, thanks so much, man. Great work. Tyler Zulli for engineering things back here during the Sixers radio broadcast. Brian Seltzer in the pre- and post-game coverage. I was with him for Sixers and 60. Always fun to be with my brother for Sixers and 60. And Tom McGinnis on the game call, and my man Marty Dickerson doing a great job keeping all of us sounding right all the way back there at the center. So have a great night, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 6. Sixers get a nice win tonight heading into the break, so I'm sure we'll talk a lot of basketball tomorrow starting at 6 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So have a great night. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow at 6. Dylan, my man, thank you. Have a good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.